Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Most of you have already seen that Rex is in the building. If you don't know Rex, he is a founding elder of St. Charles River Church, partnering with us in the Origin. That makes you, that should make you nervous. But we go back to the story quickly, 1993, driving down Highway 94. Many of you have heard the story. 1993, we're at Mid Rivers in 94, on 94, before the big interchange change there. And I hear Rex say, "Hey, Barrett, there's got to be a church out here somewhere. There really needs to be a church out here closer to 40. There's nothing out here closer to 40. So the name came to me at that intersection. There was a stoplight there. And St. Charles River Church, 1993. 1998, God's already moved them into a different ministry away from the St. Louis metro area, though we stayed very close to each other. And in 1998, God gave Gina and I a passion and a desire to give birth to this thing that never left me, which was this church called St. Charles River Church. And some of you have joined us earlier on the journey, some of you later on the journey, but we're just glad that you joined us. And in 2000, we launched St. Charles River Church, and this guy's been with us ever since. And I'll never forget, we had a U.S. congressman walk up on the platform, a believer in Jesus Christ, walked up on the platform in our dedication service, and Rex is sitting next to me. And that day, we put the pastors on the platform and the leadership on the platform, and we learned better than to do that. But on that day, I was sitting up there, and I hear Rex say, "Well, how do you like that? A politician with a worn-out Bible." And I was looking at Rex's Bible in our house yesterday. That dude needs some healing. That other Bible of yours needs some rebinding and healing there. I'm telling you, there's more scotch tape on it than an entire roll of scotch tape at Walgreens. But listen, would you welcome an elder and a brother and a family member of St. Charles River Church, Rex. Hey, bud.
There are a lot of things I love about Barry and Gina. Introductions are not among them. Now, it's a marvelous, marvelous delight to have. I hope some of you appreciate, not at whatever age you are, that there are some things that just, they actually grow in value the older you get to be. Friendships. Without trying to be, you know, overly maudlin about anything here, look it up if you don't know the meaning. But the reality of friendships, these are the things that are just real treasures in your life. And they last a really long time. Genuine, true friendships. I hope you have some. I hope there's somebody, at least one other person in your life that no matter how long you've been apart, no matter how many miles may separate you, no matter how infrequently you may speak to one another, when you do, it's just immediate. There's just that continued connection that's a part of your life. How many of you have a friend like that? That's a tremendous treasure. That's a tremendous value. And when you realize how much of a value it is to you, then maybe you would make a commitment with me that you can be that to someone. That you share the gift of your life and your calling and your enthusiasm for Christ and your experiences in God with someone else. Someone needs what you have in the faith. Unless you have nothing in the faith, and then no one needs it. I have to be honest with you. I've met a whole bunch of people in my life that I don't want them to share their faith. Because it doesn't even resemble the real faith of Jesus Christ. Y'all are being kind of quiet. I should probably just talk to the online crew. Hi, how are you? We're glad you're here. But really, this is the reality. How many of you know that that the truth is from Christ and in Christ, and no matter what you believe, it's always true.
That's true. That is true. Yeah.
The truth is not a relative thing.
Right.
We live in a society where, by and large, people have tossed away truth. They've made everything kind of, you know, relative to the circumstance and the situation. We live in a world where people have to decide what sex they are. Plumbing isn't good enough. Nature isn't good enough. I've got to make a decision. So that's what a terrible thing to burden a child with, that you have to somehow decide these kind of things. But it's the world that we live in because it's gone crazy with this idea that everybody has their own truth. In fact, sometimes when you share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people, you'll have them give you an answer. Well, that's really good for you because that's kind of your truth. Honey, that is the truth. Here's the reality. God is, and that's true. Amen. In the days of Moses, let me just remind you this, then we'll get into the preaching a little bit, but in the days of Moses, he was going back to a society and a people who believed that everything that was larger than them was a god. And so the rivers and the sun and the movement of the planets and the wind and the weather and everything around them was bigger than them. And if it was bigger and badder than them and out of their control, they labeled it as a god. They had thousands of gods in Egypt. And he was raised to understand the whole pantheon. May I remind you that Moses was raised, though a Hebrew child, he was raised as a prince of Egypt. He was raised as the grandson of the Pharaoh god. And so the Pharaoh was one among many. And so when the God, the only God, the one God, the true God, the Creator, there is no other. Everything that calls itself isn't. When the one true God revealed himself to Moses and said, all right, I want you to go back down there and I want you to tell him the real truth. I'm editing a little bit. But that's the reality of it. That's kind of the gist of what he said. Moses says, you know, they're going to want a name. They're going to want me to identify, you know, who you are. And so when I get down there among the thousands of gods that they've already named, who will I say you are? And God said, you're right, I am. Yeah, maybe you're missing the point, God. I'm looking for a name. I am. I understand. There is no other. And those who come to God still in this century, in our modern times, in our woke world, you still have to believe that He is. And that He is the rewarder of those who seek after Him. Amen. He's not God. He's not God because you believe it. He's not here looking for your approval. He doesn't hang around and get nervous about who's going to attend. Amen. God is. He just is. He has always been. He will always be. Amen. Amen. And He made us for a living relationship with Him, where the life and the grace and the blessing and all the provision of it and all the wisdom of it and all the glory of it comes from and through and within Him. On your own, sweetie, you're on your own. And you are as lost as a ball in high weeds, no matter what you think of yourself. There are many people, Jesus said, on the day of judgment. There are, like, can I phrase this again just for you? Let me repeat it. There are many people on the day of judgment who will say to me, this too is red print, by the way, Mike. Jesus saying, many people on the day of judgment will say to me, oh, Lord, Lord, we did this and that. And clearly these are people who thought and who thought right up to the judgment that they were all good. Everything's okay. You and me, Lord, I'm doing what I do in your name. Man, I'm a good, believing Christian person. And I'm going to say to them, Jesus said, I never knew you. How many of you have ever read that? How many of you know it's red print? It's not just Rex's opinion. Oh, it is Rex's opinion, be clear. But it's because Rex is committed to believing the truth. And Rex doesn't want to be among the many who say to me on that day. Because he is the way. He is the truth. I love that. What you read, you know, it says, oh, if you just show us the way, Lord. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. If your Christianity is about anything other than Jesus, you need to trade that thing in. Because it's not real Christianity. Real Christianity is a living relationship with Christ. And this is how he's going to judge the whole universe. Not on how good you were, how bad you were, how rich you were, poor you are, cute you are, ugly you are. No. What is your relationship with of trust in the love of Christ? Amen.
That's right.
Well, I'm done. I love it when they clap when you're done. It's like, oh, thank God. I thought it was going to get tough here. Oh, it's about to. It is, because I really have come. I love this fellowship. I love everybody in it. I love you. And I say that because I believe God does. I don't have to know you to love you.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Amen. In fact, the longer I know you, probably the harder I'll find it to love you. Any married people in the house? I mean, come on, let's just be honest with that. That's because if you start to impinge on my sense of selfishness, I have to begin to accommodate. I have to begin to lose my own lunacy to have a relationship. That's the pathway in. We talked about, we sang about it today. That's kind of interesting. We sang about it. We celebrated in the communion. Here's your one-step process into a powerful living relationship with Christ. You got to die to yourself. You got to die to yourself. You can't add Jesus to your life. Can I say this again just so you hear me? A mistruth has been foisted upon the body of Christ and the kingdom of God in these last days that I, for one, I'm just going to seek to correct. Just ask Jesus to come into your life. Why would he ever want to come into such a horrid little place? Oh God, with all your majesty and glory, I want you to enter my self-seeking, nasty little world. He has not come to enter your life. He has come to sacrifice his life, lay it down, pay the wage of your sin and mine, and by his death destroy death so that he can then open the door and invite you and me and everybody who says yes into his life. That's a huge difference. This is the reality. Add God to your junk. Why? If you try to add God to your junk, then you're going to always try to protect your junk, and he's never going to endorse it. He's going to come in to change it. You know, I don't need that. You won't need that. That, you know, you're the smartest person on the planet thing. You can just dump that. You're cute, you're powerful, you're amazing, you're wonderful, he's not going to talk a lot about you. Come on, is anybody in a relationship with the Lord?
Yeah, that's true.
Does it not bother you that he doesn't talk a lot about you? He doesn't seem to concern himself all the time with what you think. How you feel, oh, sweetie, oh, it just pains me that you feel that way. I've worn out a Bible or two reading this story, and nowhere in it do I find that attitude. Amen. Here I am. I love you. I'm never changing my mind. Amen. How many of you believe God loves everybody? How many of you believe God loves the people he is sending to hell? Me too. Me too. And so here's the reality. The problem is not with God. Most of the time, the problem is with us. Because we're somehow asking Him to come into our world. Somehow make all of this make sense. It doesn't make sense. It's not going to make sense. Some of you, honestly, there are people who run around looking for a government that'll bring in the kingdom of God. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That is. That's right. Oh, there's a Christian form of government. Yes, it's called the rulership of Jesus. And the kingdom has come, and the kingdom is coming. And when He sets up His rule and reign, I promise you, nobody's opposing. Nobody's successful in opposing. Amen. This is going to be the answer. It is in Christ Jesus alone. And so this is the truth. This is the reality. This is never going to change. And so He wants us to be able to come into this living relationship with Him. But today I'm here for a purpose, and I have a word from the Lord, a message, I believe, in these next, whatever minutes, 15 minutes, I will share with you this truth from God. So God, help us. Help us. Help me, I pray. Help me to touch not just the dear folks who are here with us in this room, but the folks that are touching base with us, whether it's right now as an online live thing happens, or whether someone picks it up, you know, a day from now, a month from now, a year from now. You are the God of all eternity. Every moment is yours. And so we just pray for anointing and empowerment and an open heart to the reality of what you have to say in this house. More important than what we write on the walls, more important than what we've come in believing, is the truth that you want to speak into our lives. And we say yes to that. Give us ears that hear, and give us hearts then that are eager to respond in faith, in humility, and in obedience. We pray for that. We believe for that. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let me read just or put up a number of scriptures for you. The first one is from Joel's prophecy, Joel chapter 2 and verse number 1. You can just look at it. It's on the screen. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy hill. And let everyone who lives in the land tremble, because the day of the Lord is coming. And in fact, it's close at hand. Now, we're going to read several scriptures, 4 to be exact, from different places in the scripture. This is one of the Old Testament, what we call minor prophets. But what he had to say was not minor. It was a powerful word from the Lord. But you're going to see a theme in these scriptures. And I just want you, I'm not going to tell you yet what it is. I just want you to see if you can find this theme. So blow the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm on my holy hill, because the day of the Lord is coming. The next one is from Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 60 and verse number 1. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. There's another one from Romans chapter 13, and it's a few more verses, so I want them to put it up there. It starts with verse 11 of chapter 13. By the way, this is an NIV. I'm looking at a New American Standard Bible here, but you will find it in yours as well. It says, do this, understanding the present time, knowing what the time currently is. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. Go on, the day is almost here. So, let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently like people who live in the daytime, not in carousing and there's a word that we don't hear much. What were you doing today, honey? I was out carousing. But it's unrestrained living. It's do what you want. You know, have it your way. Out carousing. Not in carousing or drunkenness. Not in sexual immorality and debauchery. Not in dissension and jealousy. There's an interesting one. There's a current one. Not in the internet fights and the arguments in the coffee houses. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say it again? Clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Be a Jesus person. Don't be the smartest person. Don't be the most politically astute. Be a Jesus person. and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. And then finally, in Ephesians chapter number 5, I love these verses. It starts in verse 14 and it says, "For this reason, this is why I'm telling you, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And as a result of that, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, as informed individuals, making the most of every opportunity because you live in evil days. You're living in darkness, but you are living as children of light. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to another good word, right? We use it all the time, debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing, make melody in your heart, make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit yourselves to one another because of your submission to Christ, out of your reverence to Christ." What do you think is the theme? Come on, just shout out an answer. 52 of them. I don't care. There's no theme. There's the crickets. Hear the cricket? I love that. When there's no answer in the house, we do crickets. If you missed that online, those were crickets, by the way. But here it is. Here's the answer. It's alarms. It's alarms. Here's a few things I know about alarms. Go on, everybody say it with me. Alarms. How many of you know you have them? How many of you know, sometimes you set them. Sometimes they just go off without your even knowing. I was riding in the car just yesterday or maybe the day before with Barry and Gina, and all of a sudden, all three of our phones went, started screaming at us in the car because of some alert, some big police issue and this thing that was going on. None of us touched our phones to try to make it work that way. It was just an alarm. And have you heard those? Come on, how many of you get those every now and then, those amber alerts? I got to tell you, they come at the most inopportune times. You're in the middle of chatting with somebody. Where's my phone? Because alarms are annoying. Come on. It's okay. Some of what I say today, some of what I already said today will annoy you. It's intentional. It's personal. Thank you very much. Amen. Because the truth should annoy us at some level. Because alarms, just by nature, they're annoying. They're prods. They're to get your attention. They're to pierce through your asleepness. They're to pierce through your stupor. They are to penetrate through the darkness and go, yo, 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 wake up. How many of you are old enough to remember, danger, Will Robinson. Danger, Will Robinson. And that crazy robot. I mean, arms going everywhere. You know, why? Because you're in danger, Will Robinson. Let's fix that thing so it doesn't work. Really? You know, you can look this up. Sukhoi, I think is how you say it. Sukhoi is used to be a manufacturer of aircraft. And in Malaysia and in Indonesia, in the Asian area, they, on the maiden voyage of their big, what do they call it? Their best jet, like their space jet. On their maiden voyage, they brought Sukhoi executives in, and they brought in a number of people that were competitors that they were trying to wow with their beautiful piece of equipment. And on a cloudy day, they took 37 people for an inaugural maiden flight in this powerful jet, and within 15 minutes crashed it into a mountain, killing all the 38 people on board. In our modern times, that should never happen because we have all the alarms. They do. Yeah, they have all the alarms. And you know what they had done? When they first took off on a cloudy day, the alarms were sounding every which way. Pull up here, don't go there, don't do that. Your proximity warnings, ground alert, ground alert, ground alert, ground alert. And they turned it off so they could make their speeches about how safe the aircraft was. And promptly, without turning, without panicking, in the middle of the cloud and fog, flew that airplane at full speed into a mountainside, killing everybody on board. Why? Because they turned off the alarm. You turn off the alarm. You ignore the alarm. Alarms have a wonderful, advantageous purpose. They're not to harm you and to limit you. They are to help you to avoid disaster. And when the alarm sounds, that kind of awakens you to the idea of immediate peril, you shouldn't be annoyed. You should be thankful. Thank God that somebody sounds an alarm. And so that's what I'm here to do today. I just want to take the time to kind of sound an alarm, because this is what the Scripture speaks about. I think they're, when they come from the Lord and they're words of eternity that speak into our lives, then we ought to be alarmed. Because I'll be honest with you, I think I had a brother say this to me just the other week. It was kind of an interesting thing. Somebody I just met. He's a missionary. He happens to be working at Christ for the Nations Institute now in developing young people for ministry. And it's my first meeting with him. I'm sitting with a friend who had introduced me to this couple, and we were just chatting about things. And one of his questions to me, out of the clear blue, he doesn't know me, I don't know him. And he said, "Well, Rex, how do you find the church these days?" And I knew he didn't mean, "Do you GPS to get from place to place?" He meant, "What is my opinion? What is my understanding of what happens? What's been my experience in traveling as much as I do to as many churches as I do across the country?" And I started to try to give him an answer about, you know, the times and the season and folks. And at about a half of a sentence in, maybe a sentence and a half in, I just said, "Look, I don't know you, so I'm just going to be honest anyway. I think the church is absolutely mostly lost. I think out of 1,000 people who call themselves Christian, probably 900 plus are not. I think there are more in the many category who will say, 'I thought we had something,' than there are in the true category who know they do because they're living in Christ. I think largely the church in America is addicted to entertainment." I'm being honest with you. We've even made church more entertaining. We're addicted to entertainment. Just read for yourself how much Americans spend on entertainment. It's amazing that we have more free time-saving devices at our disposal today, and we don't have any time. Why? Because we binge watch. I'm not picking. I'm just telling you, it's kind of a reality. If you haven't opened your eyes to this, you should wake up. You should awaken, arise, shine, danger, Will Robinson. There's an alarm because did you think God is going to ask you in the day of judgment what happened at the latest version of some show? How did that turn out? I've just been dying to know. Come on, I mean, I know you guys are, "Oh, you're being silly." No, but it's just as silly to think that you should take this precious gift of time and fritter it away. When you understand and you awaken and you begin to act on this faith of God, where you begin to respond to the clarity of the calling of God in the troubled times in which you live, then you do what the Scripture says. You want to make the most of every moment because of the days in which you live. You know, the idea that you sit around and bemoan the fact of how dark the darkness is around you, this is the best time to be a little tiny light. Because no matter how dark it is, even if you're a little bit of a light, you're a welcome light. Amen. And so don't shy away. Respond to these things. Awake, arise, accept the calling of the Lord, access the things that God has given to you, and then begin to activate your living faith in Christ. I mean, this is the word of the Lord to us. You know, have you ever read the parables in the Scripture about the kingdom? One of them is about virgins. who took oil in their lamps and some didn't take enough. And you know, the whole thing, remember that story, Matthew 25. And I know there's a millennial application to it and there's all this other stuff. So what? But here's the truth contained in that tiny little story. While the bridegroom tarried coming, they all fell asleep. They all fell asleep. This business of sleep is real. This business of spiritual stupor is real. This business of people just blithely going on thinking of, about what's important and having no clue about the real truth. And having no clue about the danger. There is close to danger as the person who says, I have so much stuff that I'm going to build bigger, better barns. And I'm going to say to my soul, man, you got it made. Your retirement program is aces. You can live for a long time. And God says, yeah, let's talk about that. Because tonight, come on. Here's what the scripture says. These are truths of scripture. If the person knew how impending the judgment was, they would have fixed it. If the guy knew the thief was coming tonight to steal from his house, he would have stayed up all night. He would have ranged a guard. He would have protected. He would have done something. But in an hour when you think not, come on. Is anybody with me here? Do you understand what I'm saying? We live in dark and troublesome times. And so here's the message. It's pretty simple. I like simple. You ready? Get up. Get up. In other words, wake up. That's what it says in the scripture. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Hey! Wake up. Now, just so you know, that's not as easily as done as it sounds to say it. If you keep yelling like that, Rex, how can I not wake up? Are you kidding? Were you ever a teenager? Seriously, I used to come from the other end of the house to turn the alarm off while my kids were gone, sleeping like logs. You can ignore the alarm. You can hit the, there you go. Why? Because this bed is so comfortable. Yes, I don't know what's waiting for me out there, but I know right here. I got my head on the pillow in just the right place. Yeah, I'm just pull those covers up just a little bit more. It's not enough to wake up to get up. You got to get out of bed.
Yeah.
Ooh. How does this apply? Well, come alive to Christ and the reality that He's inviting you into His life, and then sever all your connections that tempt you to stay in your place of comfort. Have nothing to do with this. Stop that. Don't this. Don't that. That's a reality of Scripture. I'm not trying to preach legalism to you. I'm trying to tell you that those things that have addicted you to this comatose place and put you in this place where you are blind and unaware and unconcerned about the realities of God is still around you when you're in bed. So you don't just get up, you get out of bed. You get out of bed. You remember the persons who do that with their alarms? I'm going to set one here where I can reach it. And then the next one's over in the end of the room where I got to get up on the cold floor and go over there. And then the other one's down the hall in the bathroom where there's water I can put on my face. I don't care what you have to do to get up and to get out of bed, but it's on you to get up and get out of bed. If you can't hear it, honey, you need to listen because the alarm is sounding. This is the last day. In the last days, all of these things will come. They're happening all around us. Christ is coming. The hour is near. This is our time and our season to be something for God. Oh, I'm just going to wait and kind of eventually I'll get it fixed. No, you won't. Eventually He'll come and you'll be on the wrong side of judgment. Because you didn't get up. And you didn't get out of bed. But that's not enough. It's a good start. Get up, get out of bed, and then get dressed. Put on. Every one of these scriptures says, put off this junk and put on this. And no matter what the junk is, whether it's words like debauchery and carousing that you don't say and understand, or they're really right down your alley about jealousy and envyings and strife and animosity, I don't know. Wherever they are, the reality is you got to put those off. You got to chuck that stuff. You got to get rid of those things. Why? Because they don't promote Christ in you. They keep you. They're the grave clothes. They're the stuff of the bed linens. They're the pajamas. There's the stuff for just sleeping and doing nothing. I want to be active in the world. And if I want to be active in the world and I want to make a difference, I need to clothe myself with Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean fake it till you make it. That means accept this invitation that God says, I want to invite you into my life. I want to anoint you with my power. I want to instruct you with my word of truth. I want to make you available and ready to be a minister in season and out of season of the grace and the presence and the power of Christ wherever you are. For however long or short it may be, I want to use you in that kind of a way. Amen. How many of you think that sounds like a cool way to live? Yeah. Me too. But to get there, you got to get up. You got to get up. You got to get out of bed. It's just going to attack you on your bed and lift you out. No, he's not. He's going to sound an alarm. And you're going to respond by getting up, getting out of bed, and then beginning to get dressed. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then get going. Amen. Amen. Oh, what the world needs is Jesus. He's already come. Oh, God, you revivalists, we need a move. He is moving in the earth. We need Jesus to show up. He's everywhere. He's risen from the grave. He's alive. He's well. He's active in the earth. He's making himself available to and through Holy Spirit-empowered believers who've put on the Lord Jesus Christ, who've put off the bedclothes and the stuff that keeps them in bondage and keeps them in darkness, who are awake and alive and aware of all that God is doing in the earth. And as the anointed servants of God, they come and they move and they speak and they heal the sick and they raise the dead and they share the gospel of Jesus Christ in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. And that's who we are. Amen. Amen. So here's the truth. Today, this is an alarm day. I'm not trying to scare you. Well, I am trying to scare you. I'm just actually trying to awaken you more than scare you. Scared is not enough. That alarm scared me. I'm frightened, but I'm comfortable. And these covers are so nice. And I'm sure that's the last bad dream I'm going to have. Good night. No. Get up. Get out of bed. Get dressed. And get going. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Amen.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.